I'm Dove, if I haven't met you, and it's great to be together. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to just share a little bit of my life. The reality of life is hard. Life has challenges. I have a sense in my life, this is not the way things were supposed to be. There's something really broken about this world we live in. There's something really beautiful about this world we live in, but there's something broken about it. And things that I like break, and they no longer work. Just this week, I had a friend, he helped me fix my sprinkler system, the automatic sprinkler system. I had no clue how those worked, and he showed me how to pull out the solenoid, and I went and got a new solenoid. And then that zone started working, it was awesome, and then as soon as that one started working, the another zone quit. Like, I didn't even touch that. And stuff we love just breaks and falls apart. And if you own a house, you know that. It's like, welcome to the next 50 years of maintenance. And things that I care about are breaking down. And I have this sense that I'm not who I want to be. In my life, I have these habits that are really hard. I keep saying I want to go to bed earlier at night, and I keep staying up late because I love it. I don't know if I'm addicted. It's like a drug. I feel so good at night, and I don't feel good in the morning, and I say I won't do it again, and then I do it again. And it's just hard to change. It's really hard for me to change. And then my relationships are so good, and they're so important in my life, and yet relationships are hard. I have misunderstanding in it, even in my marriage, and just places where I want to be more connected, and there's this separation and brokenness, and we just miss each other sometimes. And then there's losses in our lives. And some of those losses are possessions, some of those losses are dreams, and all of us experience these losses of dreams. And I think sometimes we just underplay those, like, oh, it was just a dream, it wasn't a big deal. But some of the dreams we have are really hard to let go of. I went to college with no real plan except to get a degree. Well, I kind of had a plan, it changed. After that, I worked manual labor for 3 years. And then I got married and I decided, I don't want to do this my whole life. It was kind of a dangerous job. I went to the emergency room 3 times. And I decided I didn't want to die, I wanted to stay married. And so I went back to school to be a teacher, and times were really lean at that time. We were broke. My wife was in school. I was going back to school. And so I had this great idea to start a little business, because my favorite thing in the whole world growing up was to build forts. And from the time I was 5 years old, I would go out with a hammer and grab my dad's pile of old nails and straighten them out and start building forts. And I built forts from the time I was young into high school. And in all my free time, I'd just be out there working on something. And they got nicer and nicer over time. And so I had this idea for a company. I said, I'm going to start a little business. And what it's going to be, because I'm studying to be a teacher, is I'm going to work with people's kids and teach them how to build forts. So I get to build forts, and I get to hang out with kids, and I get to teach them how to have some skills. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And I'm like, I don't know about you, when you have a dream, do you jump the gun? And I was ready to buy a pickup. I was ready to like start doing all these things. And I put a little ad in our church directory, and nobody was interested. A couple of people were like, oh, that's such an interesting idea. But nobody said, yeah, I'd love to pay you to come and build forts with my kids and teach them. That's kind of stupid, I know. But it was a dream I had, and I was kind of sad, honestly. I was sad to let go of that. And some of your dreams you've had to let go of, too. And some of those were actually important to you. And some of them didn't work out. And that's real. It's a real loss. And then we have loss of people in our lives. We're all here for a short time. And we don't know when our time is up, but our time is ticking, and one day we won't be on this planet. Just on Friday, got a call from the hospital up here on Trans Mountain, and they asked if somebody would come and just provide some spiritual care for some people whose mom was passing away. And so I went there Friday morning and spent a couple hours, just four kids in their 20s and 30s, I would say, and their mom was dying right there. And I guess her mom was already declared brain dead. And so I was there, and I had an amazing time just to cry with them and pray with them and be there with them. And then they said they were ready, and the doctor came and took out all the tubes. And while he's disconnecting their mom, I just sat there and sang Amazing Grace. And even this morning as we were singing, it made me think of that time just there singing Amazing Grace. They're weeping and just telling their mom how much they're going to miss her. And I'm not trying to bring a huge downer today, but this is the reality of the world we live in. The reality of the world we live in is that we experience loss. And as I get older, it's amazing to me how much more loss there is. The loss in abilities. I mean, there's a lot of things I just can't do as well as I used to be able to do. I can't remember as well as I used to. And I think that's the late nights. That's my own fault. But there's just losses, and we start to lose more people in our lives. I was talking to a guy the other week, and he said, the extent of our social life for my wife and I is going to funerals and to doctor's visits. Like, ooh, ouch, what kind of a social life is that? All right, so now that you guys are all depressed, you're welcome. We can go home. But the reality is, this is not the way life was intended to be. Life was not created to have all of this brokenness and messed up stuff. And as I understand it, God did not create it that way. God created life to work. God created relationships to have trust and vulnerability and connection. And then sin entered this world and busted it all up. And we live in a busted world in rebellion against God. But the beautiful thing is, Jesus came into that world, into all that brokenness, and he gave his life as a sacrifice, as a payment for all of that. And then he rose from the dead to overcome all that, to have a new life. And any of us who put our faith in him, not our faith in how awesome we are, but put our faith in him and what he's done, receive his payment on our behalf and receive his life, his newness on our behalf. And there's a promise of a restoration. Everything is going to be made new. I'm going to be made new. You're going to be made new. The planet's going to be made new. It's going to work. So in the meantime, if we have received Christ, we have his life in us. We have this newness. We have this power that we have goodness and righteousness in us. And we're walking through this broken minefield of life with just a taste of what that's going to be like. And we hang on to that beautiful nugget we have, waiting for it all to be restored. And so this morning, I just want to share a few things in that. I think our tendency in life is to think, and we get bombarded with this, life is hard, and my life is hard. If I could just change my situation, everything would be better. If I could just get a new job, that would take care of it. If I could just get a new relationship, that would take care of it. If I could just get out of this situation and into another situation. This morning, what I want to say is that God has called us to thrive right in the middle of this painful, broken place that we live in. He's called us to bloom right where we've been planted. To experience him to the fullness right here in the middle of this crack of life. That's not easy, and yet there's beauty in it. I studied botany. I love plants. I don't know how they do this. I can't get grass to grow in my backyard, even when sprinklers are working, but you'll see it grow in all kinds of places. And for us, too, to bloom where we've been planted, to thrive in that mess that we've inherited, and to find God in the middle of it. So Romans 8 touches on this pretty well. Paul writes, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." So he's saying the whole creation has been damaged. The whole creation is suffering. And there's earthquakes and disease and brokenness, and the creation is like us, like, ugh, this isn't how it was meant to be. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits when you harvest a crop, the first fruits is that first harvest. And it's the exciting harvest. Like, yeah, there's finally a harvest. And it's also signifies like an offering to God. It's this beautiful thing. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We still walk around in these broken fleshes, but we have the first fruits. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Do you guys feel that too sometimes? Just groaning like, oh, why does life have to be like this? Well, it wasn't meant to be that way, but it's where we're at. And we can thrive in the middle of that because of what God has done. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that you know how to sustain us through all the pain and brokenness of life. Thank you that you care about us. God, I thank you that you care about even the little simple dreams that we lost and the challenges we go through. Thank you for loving me, God. Thank you for walking with me through this minefield of life. Thank you for the beauty in it, and thank you for the hope beyond it. Pray you'd speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to have you guys turn to or Google 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to go to verse 17. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 17. Paul writes, "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised." Which I don't think anybody knows exactly what that means, but anyways. "Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts." So that first thing he's saying, we get caught up in all these little things of life. Oh, is it circumcision? Is it uncircumcision? Is it this kind of, I don't know, baptism, this type of communion? Is it this type of activity? Like, no, it's not about that. When we get so tangled up in the things of this life, none of those are what matters. What matters is keeping God's commands. What matters is following God. Continuing 20, "Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man is responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to." And that might sound kind of harsh. If you're a slave, the most important thing is not getting out of slavery. That's not the most important thing. He's saying, yeah, if you can, do it. But there's something bigger than just, this place I'm in is horrible. He's saying, regardless of where you are, if you're a slave, if you're free, if you're the boss, if you're an employee, if you have your own company, if you aren't on salary, wherever you are, you have a responsibility to God. And that's the important thing. And that's even bigger. Certainly, if your situation can improve, that's wonderful. But that's not the most important thing. So wherever we are in life, wherever we are, how can we experience God? How can we thrive? How can we bloom? I just want to throw out three things that to me have been really important for me to lock into where I'm at. The first is to experience the presence and comfort of God. In Psalm 139, it says, "Where can I flee from your presence?" We cannot get away from God. Whether we are in the best situation we can think of or the worst, God is with us. He is present. He is available. He walks through life with us. That's amazing to me. It is my firm belief that all the things that I'm looking for in life are found in God. They're not even in the gifts of God, they're in God. All the satisfaction I really want, all the life, all the joy is in Him. And to connect with His presence, and also to connect with His comfort. Jesus said, "I will send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit dwells with us when we put our faith in Christ. And one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us, to constantly give us comfort. Why? Because we need comfort. Because we get the crap kicked out of us on a regular basis, from within and from without. And we weren't intended to walk through life so strong that we don't need anyone. We were intended to need comfort. And in my life, especially recently in the last 6 months, as I understand God's comfort into my life, how much He sees the things that I go through, that He cares about what happened to me, whether anybody else thinks it's a big deal or not, He actually cares about it. It has given me a new freedom. I continue to grow in freedom as I have His comfort. And His comfort to me allows me to have more compassion for others and to care about the things in their life that may look little to me. And His comfort to me allows me to let go of some stuff that has blinded my eyes to see people for who they really are. Because the pain is what I've seen. I've kind of looked through it. And when I know God's comfort, I know His voice into that, I'm able to see again and actually see what's happening in somebody else's life. So may we allow God's comfort, to hear God's comfort into those places. And maybe some of you young guys, when I was young, I'm like, come on, I don't need any comfort. I think it's real though. It just builds up, and it's a place of strength. It's not a place of weakness. God is faithful. He defends us. Sometimes I've seen God just, even in a conflict with somebody, change somebody's heart. Or I've seen God even just knock somebody on their butt. When I was teaching a couple times, I had students that were really aggressive with me. And then something would happen. Maybe they would show up really sick and humble, or they would need something from me. And I had an opportunity to change my heart there. But God defends us. Sometimes it takes a while. Being patient is hard. That's why the translation is long-suffering. Being patient, waiting for God to defend us. He will. God is going to make everything right. Some of it not this on this side of life. But He is. He's making things right. We can rest in that. We can trust Him. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. I love that promise. There's lots of promises like that. He is the trustworthy one. And it's not by me growing to be stronger in trust. It's about me resting in the one who is trustworthy. To make Him our refuge, a place of hiding, a place we can go to find everything we need. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And I would love this morning for you to hear a little bit of the comfort from God. and in your life. On the back of your handout is a little resource that has been useful to me, of going to God and bringing some of those hurts and to allow Him to speak into them and to be free from those, to walk through them with strength. So the second thing, just in blooming where we're planted, how do we thrive right where we're at, is to learn to be thankful for the little things. And I put little things in quotation marks because I don't really know if there are little things. I mean, I think it's all, I don't know, we minimize it. Oh, that's just a little thing. But it's a gift from God. God has given us so many gifts, and when we learn to appreciate and be thankful for those, it absolutely transforms our perspective and our attitudes and our lives. I remember one time in college, just practicing thankfulness. I had just finished a test, which is always a good time to be thankful because I was done with it. And I'm riding my bike, and I just started saying things I was thankful for. Thank you, God, for life and for trees. I specifically remember, I don't know why, thank you for little babies and how cute they are and when they make those little faces, and that's cool. And I'm riding my bike, and I'm just thanking God, and pretty soon I started to feel really happy. I'm just thanking God, and I let go of the handlebars. I'm riding without my hands. I'm just like, thank you, God. And I remember some gal walking by me was like, whoa, this guy is like, what are you smoking today, man? Thankfulness is powerful, though. To learn to be thankful for the gifts in our life. Give thanks in all circumstances. In every single circumstance, we have things to be thankful for. I certainly do. And I think about, I like reading stories about people who are overcomers. I don't know why, that's probably my favorite kind of book. Or watching videos. And I read about some of these Christ followers who are in these crazy places. Even, I don't know if you guys read Tortured for Christ. Richard Wurmbrand and what he went through. He's walking through the worst thing I could think of, and he's full of joy. And he said the greatest worship service he's ever seen is in hiding in the middle of the woods when they knew that they would get busted and arrested and dragged off and tortured if they were caught. Like, that's the grit. He's just so thankful for that. This is the most amazing place. And then when I think of my life and how easy it is, comparatively, it makes me realize how much I have to be thankful for too. At the end of the day, though, even though as I bring that up, I don't honestly think there's a huge comparison of challenge in life. Every heart knows its own difficulty, and every heart has its own challenge of finding something to be thankful for, whether you're in what's a really hard situation or what people would consider an easy situation. So, and then the third thing is to be faithful with the little things. What has God called us to? Honestly, God is the one that makes things happen. I have a little tiny role in that. And I think if I'm not being faithful, my tendency is either to not do what God has asked me to do. It's not important. Or sometimes in my heart I go, man, that's little stuff. I need to do all of this stuff. I need to take on even more. I am responsible for so much. And in our lives, when we are faithful with God, what God has called us to do, it does not mean the results will always be what we want it to be. God has called you to be faithful, and then the results are up to Him. The results may or may not meet your expectations. But will we be faithful? What has God called us to right in front of us? Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. May we seek to please God and follow His will. Who are the people He's put right in front of our faces to love and bring good to? What are those opportunities that He's given us to work at with all of our hearts to serve Him and to honor Him with? When I'm faithful with the little things and trust Him to take care of it, my life has so much more peace. So we can be content in any circumstance, Paul says that he learned the secret of being content. We can learn to be content whether we're well fed, whether we got all kinds of abundance of food and possessions, or we're totally broke. We can have joy through the pain and through the joys of life. We can walk through it with perspective, because this life is just a short blip. We are walking through this short life. And in the middle of it, we have God's presence. We have the greatest treasure, and everything's going to be restored. It's going to be all made new. In every circumstance, we can experience life through Christ. And so I want to take just a little bit of time. We're going to do communion. And so this is a remembrance of what Christ has done for us. So we're going to have about 5 minutes. During that time, I want to ask you to just kind of have a time where you are at, right at your seat. And it might be hearing some of God's comfort into your life. I encourage you to allow yourself to hear what God would speak into that. If you want to look on the back, I think that's a really good tool to kind of allow yourself into that place. Maybe it's a place of just being thankful. Maybe you would like to write out some things you're thankful for, or just in your seat quietly remember some of the things that you really appreciate, that God has blessed you with. Or maybe it's a time of just realizing some of what God's called you to be faithful to, and to let go. That's me, I need to let go of some of those other things, or to actually take those serious. What has God called you to? Are there some places you've neglected that God has asked you to be faithful in? Or are there some places where you're stressed out and trying to take on a whole lot that you weren't intended to take on, and just to be faithful with what He's given you? I'm just going to pray, and then if you want to play that song, and as you like, if you want to come up and just remember what Christ has done and celebrate that and receive His strength and life afresh. All right, God, we just give You this time. God, I thank You that even though You're not making this life perfect, even though You're not taking away our struggles, thank You that You're meeting us in them. Jesus, thank You for coming into the darkness of my world. Thank You for coming in to be with me and to make me new and to comfort me. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would speak words of comfort right now to people right here, to brothers and sisters who need to hear Your comfort. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to direct us, to show us places where we should be faithful, what You've called us to. To honor those and to walk through those, trusting in Your strength. I ask that You would overflow us with thankfulness. As You like, Lord, I ask that You would lead us this morning, that we would be sensitive, that we would take this time and just enjoy Your presence. I thank You that You're always with us. God, You are the best thing I have in my whole life. You are the greatest gift. You are my treasure. You are my refuge. In Jesus' name. Amen. Your love stand firm through all my life. Search, oh God, You're near. In my wandering, oh God, You're near. When I feel alone, oh God, You're near. And my love awaits, oh God. Through all my life.
joined as one by the blood. Hope will rise as we become more and conquerors through the one who loved the world.
God is good. May you know his presence. May you know that, just that blessing of his tenderness and power towards you. He doesn't minimize anything that goes in your life. He knows it and cares and allows you to walk through it. And it will end. It's good. He is good.